May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. 736.
Thank you. We'll read from God's holy word. The Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that he might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine especial help now as we come before thee. O Lord, do grant us of thy Spirit, that we may come rightly with those right thoughts, those right desires, to pray rightly, to preach rightly, to hear rightly, to worship thee rightly. Grant that we may be in the Spirit on thy day. Do deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from the temptations of the devil. O Lord, that our hearts, our thoughts may be drawn unto thee. O Lord, we would seek thee. Do, O Lord, take away all distractions. Do take away those things that do disturb, that hinder. O Lord, do grant us that liberty. O Lord, that we may hear to the blessing of our souls. O Lord, do grant that grace and that favour to us, that opening up of the Scriptures, that setting forth of the beauties of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. O Lord, how we are dependent upon thee, dependent in the pulpit, dependent in the pew, dependent whilst we're here in the chapel, and dependent when we go forth from this place. O Lord, do deliver us from being forgetful hearers. Indeed, we have heard thy word, that which is pure and holy. O Lord, do grant us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and that we may lay up these things to heart. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy toward us. O Lord, thy preserving and safekeeping, that we have a place that we may worship in this evil day, when many are in persecution. Many cannot meet openly or meet in fear of their lives. O Lord, we do thank thee. We thank thee that we have thy word before us, faithfully translated in our own language. O Lord, how many there are in this world that do not have thy word, or only part of it, or that which they have is not been faithfully translated, or they are unable to get a copy of the Scriptures to read themselves. O Lord, we do pray for them that they may receive. And O Lord, pray for ourselves that we may be thankful and not abuse that great privilege that thou hast granted to us, to hear thy words. O Lord, do be with us, we pray. Do be with our friends here. Particularly pray for those that are sick at this time little ones that are sick, one been in hospital. Oh Lord, we do pray for him, that he may be given that healing and strengthening and that recovery and that help for his parents. Oh Lord, do grant thy favour, we pray, thy gracious hand upon them as a family. And any others that are sick at this time, unable to come out, or those that are aged and infirm and unable to come out to thy house, or those that care for them, oh Lord, we do pray, grant thy help and thy favour, do visit them, do bless them in their souls, and grant thy restoring hand, we pray. Oh Lord, do be with any other that are in trouble, difficulty, distress, that thou be pleased to help them and to favour them and to guide them. Do be with the deacons here, our friends the deacons, in their responsibility and burden. Grant them that wisdom and that guidance in all their calling before thee, in all the affairs of the house. Bless thy servants that come, that preach, and oh Lord, that the word may come with power. It may be seen that we have been with Jesus. Oh Lord, we do pray for the churches and thy servants that go forth. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be very merciful unto us. For oh Lord, it is a day of reproach, a day of falling away, a day when many hearts have grown cold, lukewarm. Love of many has declined. Oh Lord, do grant that there may be that burning desire by the Spirit in our hearts, that we may be that holy zeal, that we should not just drift along with the world, drift along with the fashions of this world, but that we would seek to walk according to thy way, thy calling, for thine honour and thy glory. O Lord, do especially strengthen thy servants preaching, one's own pastor at home. Grant him thy help and thy strengthening at this time. Uphold him in his many labours, and all thy servants that go forth in proclaiming thy word, do bless them and favour them, we pray. And, O Lord, those newly sent forth, labour in thy vineyard. O Lord, indeed we do thank thee that thou art raising up others to proclaim the everlasting gospel, as thou art taking others to glory, or their work has ended through infirmity and old age, but yet remain awaiting their change into eternity after death. But, O Lord, now we do pray that thou wouldst grant that strengthening. O Lord, we do thank thee for the sending out of now thy servant Matthew Hyde. And, O Lord, may he be granted that strength and that grace in that new calling. And, O Lord, that he may be made a blessing, as others that have been sent forth in recent year or two. O Lord, we do thank thee. O Lord, how needful. O Lord, thou art the Lord of the harvest. Send forth, we do pray, more labourers into the harvest. And, O Lord, not just for the sake of numbers, but that there may be an abundant blessing through the preaching of the word. There may be that filling of the empty pulpits, the empty pastorates, that there may be an abundant blessing resting upon the churches. O Lord, do grant us ears to hear, and grant us that help now, we pray. And O Lord, look in mercy upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. 113.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. In Colossians chapter 1, I'd particularly direct you to verses 19 and 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Particularly resting upon my spirit is verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, should all fullness dwell. It is in Christ that there is a blessing, and a blessing that will not pass away. It is in Christ, and Christ only, that there is salvation, that there is hope, that there is mercy, that there is life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, we read towards the end of this chapter, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. Thus we must warn, if you do not know the Son of God, you have not got life. There's that most vital question, do you have the Son of God? Do you know him? Do you know his mercy, his shed blood, his grace? For without that, you have not life. But are dead in trespasses and sins. Although I would wish rather to preach more the positive of Christ, and we'll come to, but we note here, it says, whom we preach, warning every man. And thus, this is my call as a servant of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, so we must sound that warning. It will not do just to come and sit in a chapel. It will not do just to pick up a Bible, but do you pray? Do you pray unto the Lord and Saviour? Do you pray for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins? Pray to be helped. Indeed, it's the Lord's most gracious favour be granted to those that pray unto him with a whole heart. Truly they that seek shall find, they that ask receive. Knock on that door, the door will be opened. To them that knock, the door will be opened. It's a glorious truth and a great encouragement to those that seek the Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Mark, it's holy ground. We need that help of the Spirit, that we should seek him rightly. We are at a time, coming to the time of year, when many will be using and alas, abusing the name of Christ for worldly gain and worldly entertainments, things that are an utter abomination before the throne of Almighty God, that have no part in the Holy Scriptures, no part in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, though his name be used. But we have need of seeking him with the whole heart, in spirit and in truth. We firstly note with the church at Colossae there was fruitfulness. We read of this in the first part of chapter 1, there was a fruitfulness. Indeed, the Apostle Paul gives thanks unto the Lord for that. Indeed, that fruitfulness. What do we mean by fruitfulness? Love, joy, peace, a blessed knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that love unto the Lord shown forth in our lives, that love unto the brethren. There was an evidence that they'd been with Jesus. Although they'd not been with Jesus in his earthly ministry, like us, we were not there literally at the day when Christ was walking upon the water or performing those miracles or feeding the 5,000 or the 4,000 in the wilderness or literally heard him preach or saw him crucified. But the Colossians here were those who had been with Jesus. How? By the Spirit. Indeed, we read that Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Christ by the Spirit was dwelling in their hearts. There was the evidence of the work of the Lord in their hearts, their lives, in the church. They'd been with Jesus. They were not the same. So I'll repeat again, and it needs repeating and repeating, those we read in the New Testament who had been with Jesus and had received a blessing, they were not the same. The leper that came to Jesus was cleansed of his leprosy. The woman that was a sinner, her life evidently a scandalous one, but had come to Jesus and wept at his feet. She left with those words, Daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. There was the word of forgiveness, of mercy. That woman had been caught in the act of adultery. They brought to Jesus to tempt him. And the Lord Jesus did not, as it were, instruct that she should be executed as the law deserved, but he showed mercy. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was to lay down his life, a sacrifice for her sins, as well as every one of the true church of God. And us could say, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Well, we could multiply many examples, like the man, paralyzed man who was sick of the palsy, had to be carried to Jesus, but he went away from Jesus walking, rejoicing. Not only his sins forgiven, but his body healed, as an evidence that the Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus Christ, had authority to forgive sins. We see here there was a fruitfulness. Indeed, the Apostle Paul's prayer and desire there should be more. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Do you desire fruitfulness in your life? Is it a matter of prayer? that you should know and show forth that fruitfulness? Is it your prayer as you come to the house of God or come to the Bible in reading it? Do you desire that there should be those changes for the better in your heart and in your life or in the church? Come back to the warning. Or would you rather just have everything the same? Or yea, worse, just a growth in money, not in grace. A growth in entertainments, not in the knowledge of the Lord. A growth in ambition and careers rather than in the call of God. A growth in leisures and pleasures which are but for a season rather than the eternal blessings in Christ. The Lord knows. For them that honour me, I will honour, saith the Lord. One thing we see in Scripture most clearly, that those that came to Jesus, came seeking him, humbly coming to his feet, or those who are seeking in the word, like the Ethiopian eunuch, the Lord abundantly blessed. The Lord is the same today, it's the same Lord. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. So to come back to that question, the Colossians, like ourselves, were not alive and there to witness with our own eyes Jesus' ministry upon the earth. But yet it may be said of them that there was a change because they'd been with Jesus. Like they said of the disciples, they took note that they'd been with Jesus. There was a difference. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, had visited their souls, the church. Just what we so desire, or do you desire as well? Are we united in these things, that the Spirit may come with power and that there be changes? Well, surely we're hypocrites if we sit in church and place of worship and read the words and sing the hymns. And we don't desire that there be the blessings of the Spirit and the changes for the better. May the Lord grant us repentance in these things, delivery from the snare of Satan. And to give us that true spirit like Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. There, that honest, straightforward seeking of the Lord and his blessings, truly that is a fruit of the work of the Spirit. Singleness of heart, a singleness of desire to the Lord's honour and glory. But this fruitfulness, the source of it is Christ. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 15, the Lord speaking to the disciples, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. There is a dependency in Christ. Where there is a fullness in Christ. That brings us to our text. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him, Christ. Here we have in this chapter a verse that sets forth the preeminence of Christ. As in all things he might have the preeminence. That is first. Truly, we read here of the glory of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Exceeding glory. By him were all things created. Read in John's Gospel at the beginning concerning the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read that There was not anything without him, that is the Word. Without the Word was not anything made that was made. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We read in chapter 2, in verse 9, for in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A reference to the Blessed Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Fullness. And it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, we see the doctrine of Christ. The word doctrine means teaching. Who Christ is most vitally important. Here we see the glory of Christ in his divine nature, the eternal Son of God, God the Son. Now Satan is very active to try and, if he can, somehow take away or cover. The glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The armies of the Syrians when they were fighting against Israel in the Old Testament. And this tells us a parable instruction about Satan's tactics. The king of Syria, the enemy of Israel, said, fight not with small or great, great or small, but with the king of Israel. And so it is ever the case that Satan, a great aim, is to fight against Christ. And so against those who love Christ. To fight against the work of Christ in the church. To fight against the doctrine of Christ. To fight against that true doctrine and blessing of prayer in the name of Christ. To fight against the Word of God. The Word is in the written and the incarnate Word in all things are the same. To fight against the Scriptures, to corrupt the Scriptures, if it were possible. But what we have is many modern corrupt versions. They're not the Word of God, they're a corruption of it. So Satan would seek to fight against that glory, the divine glory. There are those like the Jehovah's Witnesses, others who will deny the divinity of Christ. So yes, he's the Son of God, but he's not God the Son. A created being, but not the Creator. Try to lower, denigrate Christ and his glory. Others who will seek to take away the glory of the Godhead, denying the Trinity, denying that record in Scripture. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. One thing I can assure you, that if we meddle with such things, entertain such things, let alone get involved in such things, there will not be a fruitfulness. There will be a death. It's most vital that we hold fast to the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity, to the glory of God. As it says, abide in me and I in you. We cannot expect Christ, the blessings of Christ in our church, our ministry, and our lives, except we abide in him, and abide in the blessed doctrines, teachings that speak of the glories of the Godhead. the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Abiding in error or heresy, there will be no fruit. Not any good fruit, there'll be the evil fruit, poisonous fruit, deadly fruit, but not that which is blessed. Nor that which leadeth to eternal life, but to eternal death. We have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, truly God. So many places our Lord Jesus Christ showed forth that he was truly God. Walking upon the water, forgiving sins, for none can forgive sin but God only. For sin is the breaking of the law of God, and none can forgive that but he who has given that law. It's not the law of man that sin has broken, it's the law of God. That's why King David, when he was convinced over his sin of adultery, he confessed, "Against thee, and against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight." Yet the Lord Jesus Christ came and said, "Son, daughter, thy sins be all forgiven." Those that came in repentance, in sorrow over their sins, that came unto him, came hoping, looking unto him for mercy. Truly, our Lord Jesus Christ has all power and authority as God, truly God, to forgive sins. And we need a divine Saviour. Our sins, we will not help us to go to man. Although we are commanded to confess our sins to others, to one another, but we cannot receive the forgiveness of those sins in the power of it, the absolute sense of it. There must be that confessing unto God. Vain it is for man to claim that he can forgive sins. It is only Jesus Christ who is truly God, has that power. It's only in the name of Jesus. But that blessed name and his shed blood and his righteousness, there is the power to wash away all sins. The power to clothe the naked with his righteousness, not their own. There are those places in Scripture where our Lord Jesus Christ most clearly spake that he was truly God. When speaking with those who believed not, we read in John 8, and Jesus said, "Your father rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." There, the name Jehovah, I am that I am. That glorious name given to the Godhead, I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. It's so needful that we should see this glory in Christ, the Godhead. We should pray that we see glory by faith. So we were not there to hear those words. We're not there to see him walking on the waters, but by faith that we may see that which is not seen with the natural eye, but to believe it, to know it, to feel the power. To know that truth, that even here, now, Jesus Christ is in the midst. It says in the Word of God, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. To have that solemn sense of our Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is here by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. The one in whom all fullness dwells. The Godhead. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Indeed, that one with whom we will have to do. When each one of us passes from this life to eternity, we must each stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We've spoken of the divinity and power of our Lord. But here in the glory of his divinity, we see that in Revelation, Book of Revelation, the Apostle John. So we see the same in Daniel, Ezekiel, with those visions they had of the eternal Son of God and his glory shining forth. Awesome glory. But we also have here the glory in his sacred humanity. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Here we speak of him going to the cross. The eternal Son of God took human nature, body and soul, and was born a babe in Bethlehem, Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There was no room for him in that place. They laid the babe in a manger, a place where the animals eat from. Concerning Christ, in his sacred humanity. Read in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is a glory shining forth in his humiliation. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. Here we see shining forth his love. Why did he humble himself? Why did he make himself of no reputation? Why did he go to the cross? Why was he born? Why did he come to the manger? Why did he come to this sin-cursed earth? He who was pure, holy, undefiled. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Not might, not perhaps, but shall. Work of power, a work of grace. He shall save his people. Who are his people? That number that no man can number, but is known unto God. Out of every kindred, tribe, every nation, tongue, number known unto God. The true church of God. I know we might talk about a church or church building, but the true church is the word in the original signifies an assembly, a gathering together of every true believer, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, redeemed. Word redeemed means bought back. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that price to deliver them from the slavery of sin and Satan, and rose again for their justification. Our Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the holy law of God that we have broken, and thus wrought out righteousness by his obedience, that we should be clothed in his obedience. Clothed in his righteousness rather than that we should appear naked, defiled before the throne of God, but rather we should be washed in his blood, our sins washed away, our nakedness clothed in his righteousness, that we should stand in a glorious garment before the throne of God. And thus, while we are yet here below, it is only by faith in the Spirit, through the Spirit and through the precious name of Jesus, that we can approach unto God. There should be his obedience that is seen, his righteousness when we approach unto God, not our own disobedience, not our own unrighteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save. What glory has shone forth in his love, his dying love, that you come to be judged, mocked, spat upon, beaten, scourged, insulted, set at naught. Yet he is the very creator of heaven and earth. Nailed to the cross, crowned with a crown of thorns, that crown beaten into his head with a reed or a cane, clothed in a purple garment, and the Roman soldiers bowed the knee before him and said hail and mocked him in mock worship. Why? It was to pay the price of our sins, sins of the church. It is there when we behold the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, there we see the sinfulness of sin. Behold what it cost him. For that glorious work, it made peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, to make peace. For outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. There is but fire and wrath. And the Lord is righteous too, not unjust, justly angry. But that wrath due unto the true church fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacred humanity. He bore the curse, the wrath of God the Father, bore the forsaking upon the cross. For our Lord Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible time upon the cross. That suffering of his sacred human soul, that our soul should be delivered. Bearing the sins of the church, Church of God from Adam to the end of time. Made peace through the blood of the cross in the Old Testament. Sacrifices in the tabernacle and in the temple. These things were types, figures that pointed to Christ's work. All these things, they pointed to Christ. Those who believed by precious faith, who were the redeemed of the Lord by faith, they looked forward to Christ. Although only revealed in types, shadows, figures, yet they looked forward to the Lamb of God that should come, the Messiah that was promised, the seed of the woman that was promised. We read there that without the shedding of blood there was no remission of sins, no forgiveness, no washing away of the stain without the shedding of blood. All those types, they point to that, and it must not just be the blood of bulls or goats. Well, that was just but a sign that pointed to the blood of the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, said John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming unto him. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, the fruit of the shed blood is peace, reconciliation, atonement. The word atone comes from the two English words at one. To be made at one, instead of being that enmity, that division, that barrier. There was a breaking down of that barrier, as it were, a taking away, that reconciling, bringing of peace. How precious that is, if we have known the sinfulness of sin. And the judgments of God on account of sin have been revealed to us, and we know that there is a judgment to come. And we know not when we shall pass out of this world to stand before the throne of God, and we know that God is justly angry. And that penalty is eternal torment in hell. Truly then, peace is good news. The gospel, which that's what the word gospel means, good news. Truly it is good news to those who are lost, to those who feel themselves to be a sinner and know that the outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire and will consume them. How wonderful that is. What glory there is. Our Lord shines forth in that glorious work of redemption when Jesus Christ, eternal Son of God, laid down his life. He had to take human nature, because in his divine nature he could not be that suffering, that shedding of blood. He must take a human nature into union with his divine. But all that he did as the man Christ Jesus, all that he did had the glory, the power, the authority of his Godhead. There was a fullness. A fullness of power and authority, a fullness of power to save. But in him should all fullness dwell. A fullness of mercy, a fullness of grace, a fullness of love, fullness of righteousness. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Oh, we see many things where there's not a reconciliation at our present day. Wars, persecutions, or those signs of sin, disagreements, envying, murmurings, arguments, bearing of grudges, many things, whether in our own hearts, families, churches, nations. O wretched man that I am, said the Apostle Paul, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that there will be that full manifestation as we read of in the book of Revelation, and also particularly spoken of in parts of the prophecy of Isaiah. In that time when this world shall pass away, the new heavens and a new earth. There will be that peace, perfect peace. There'll be nothing that offends, nothing that disturbs. No darkness, just light. Just glory. Yet here below, the Lord's true people, those who believe with precious faith, they know in measure that peace which passeth all understanding. Now that earnest or token witness of the Spirit within, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is that hope, indeed there is that real knowledge and comfort. The sins are forgiven, a good hope in Christ. A new heart, a new life, new desires. A deliverance from the bondage of sin, a token that there is yet a better place awaiting. We are pilgrims and strangers here in this wilderness. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So where we have tasted, there has been that intimation, that true knowledge that there is that glorious city yet to come. And so the Apostle Paul in that prison, imprisoned in Rome, could speak of that crown of righteousness that awaited. That he should be with Christ, which is far better. Where we see our Lord Jesus Christ in his sacred humanity showing forth the glories of mercy and redemption and of love, showing forth that God is love. There's that union of his divine nature and human nature in one person, the eternal Son of God, in union with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But we've spoken here about the blood of the cross is death, but this is life. Read in Romans chapter 8. There is his life and his intercession. And there's a fullness in his life. That we should have, as it were, life to the full. Perhaps heard of the expression of people saying that they're going to live life to the full. I encourage you to do the same, perhaps. Live life to the full. Travel to every part of the world. Indulge in every sin, perhaps. Do everything to advance their career. Indulge in every pleasure. Gain as much money as possible. Live life to the full. Well, it is but the pleasures of sin for a season. And it's not true life, it's death. And this life that we have, even if we live 70, 80, 90, 100 years, what's that compared to the infinity of eternity? And what would be the supposed fullness of leisures and sins here below in comparison to eternal perdition and torment in hell? Or indeed the eternal glory of the saints in heaven? So we read in Romans chapter 8, "He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" There's a fullness. Lord's servant Paul spoke that he had all things. And it's all things that really mattered. Eternal things, the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, that good hope for eternity. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, as a fullness of his presence and his help, his wisdom, his comfort, his mercy. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What a fullness there is. There's a fullness in his death, in his shed blood, as a fullness in his resurrection. Because I live, ye shall live also. That we are risen with him. We ascended with him. There's a fullness in our Lord's intercession, interceding, as our great high priest above, continually. A fullness in that. He's full of compassion. Thus we can pray, we should pray, must pray unto him, as one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, not like those high priests of old who were not hard, callous men, proud in their religion. Very upright outwardly, but no love, no compassion. Who would not wish to have a sinner anywhere near them. Despised them, would rather pray in the house of God like the Pharisee. I thank God that I'm not like other men are, and certainly not like that sinner. But not so the Lord, one who is filled with compassion, fullness, abides in Jesus our head. There's a fullness, the fullness in his life. Because I live, ye shall live also. That intercession, when we are in deep trouble, in deep need, there he is interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. Oh, that the Lord would grant us an increase of faith to believe and to see. That we should be much more in prayer than we are. In Galatians, we read Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ, crucified to this world, or do we love the world? The word says, love not the world. He who is, well, we read quite clearly, the friend of the world is the enemy of God. A lot of ministries and churches these days labour long and hard to show you can be a friend of the world and the friend of God at the same time. Enjoy everything of the world and enjoy the promise of eternal life. It's not so. There's a lie. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means ungodly riches, worldly riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. Are we crucified to these things? Well, the old man of sin will always, the old nature within us is always striving, but there is the new man there. Are we praying to be delivered from these things? Are there those things that we can say, yes, I did love those things, I did walk in those things, but not anymore? Crucified. Dead to them. See that testimony that we believe, is that right? Open testimony of believers' baptism. That, firstly, that being submerged or buried in baptism. Showing that there's a death to this world. But then a coming out of the water, showing a rising again in newness of life, washed, cleansed by our Lord. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How dependent we are upon the life of Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen.
the collections last Lord's Day amounted to £665, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address Sunday school this afternoon. And Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address Sunday school and administer the Lord's Supper. And the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? 1095.
Thank you.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.